This Sunday Show with EPIC, the Irish Emigration Museum, an interactive journey that shows how a small island made a big impact on the world. EPICCHQ.com.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
And you're very welcome to tonight's Sunday Show. I'm going to be joined a little later by sports management agent Trevor Twomley, who's going to tell us all about Sport Endorse and the power of sports brand ambassador marketing. Very interesting, the Jerry Maguire of Ireland sports management. But first up, I'm delighted to be joined in the studio this evening by Dominic Kemp, food expert, food writer, award-winning everything. Dominic, how are you? Lovely to see you. You're looking the picture of health.
Well, thank you very much. It's January, so we're all kind of obliged to start looking a little bit better than in December.
Absolutely. And that's why I wanted to get you on the show this evening to tell us all how to be a better, healthier you for 24. But beforehand, I just want to chat to you about the last time we were chatting. You were working away on some interesting new openings and stuff, and you had some very nice news recently.
Yeah, we had just, I think, opened the pub in Parkgate Street, Nancy Hand. So that's now a year anniversary and doing really well. So delighted, because I think when I spoke to you, I was endeavouring to become a publican for the first time.
Yeah.
But then we opened up a Lottie's restaurant in Rathmines in March, and lovely surprise in December when we got notification that we've been included in the Michelin Guide for 2024. So we're really delighted about that.
Fabulous. So does that mean you're, like, I presume you're fully booked then once people see things like that? It's brilliant for reservations and for business, of course.
It really is, because Lottie's is in Rathmines, so you're not in the city centre, you're in the suburbs, and you don't get that same sort of hit that you do in the suburbs. You tend to have to work a little bit harder to bring people out to you. And so, yes, it's been a nice boost for January.
No, and I must say, it is, and your menu's there, and the food and the value, I think it's all, like, spot on. So it's a great place.
Thank you.
And I love, it's always almost like a little treat to go to Rathmines, go to the Stella there, and it's such a nice little part of Dublin.
It really is. And the guys across the road who run Kodiak, a super cool bar. You do feel a bit old when you go into it, but it is absolutely brilliant. Lovely guys that run it. So we have some great neighbours, and you're right, it's becoming like a nice little destination.
Brilliant,
spot.
Brilliant. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So now, this year, I suppose we all feel a few pounds after Christmas. You, of course, famous for that amazing book that you wrote with Patricia
Daly,
The Ketogenic Kitchen, which for me is a Bible that I keep well-fingered by on my kitchen table. It's a great thing to do, the keto diet, when you want to lose weight, not like over a slow period of time, but I find it works for if you have an event coming up or something.
Yeah.
When you cut out the carbs, more or less, it's great. Works for me, but of course everyone's different.
Everyone is different, and I think you put your finger on it. You get a lot of people deciding that they want to go more plant-based, or they want to go vegan, or this and that. But I find that for me also, and I probably eat low-carb 80-90% of the time, I find that works really well, some intermittent fasting as well. And it just fits my lifestyle, fits work, and fits how I am metabolically. And I think if I eat carbs, I tend to get very hangry. I can't function unless I'm eating all the time. And, you know, especially at this age, I'm 52 now. And the older we get, the harder it is to shift weight and those unwanted pounds.
Yeah, you're looking fantastic. I would have thought about 10 years off that. I was wondering why I never got asked to the 50th. Yeah, well done. I mean, I'll say you're looking fabulous on
Thank
it. But
you
I
so
don't
much.
Think anybody, with these days, I think things have changed so much. I think age is a funny one because nobody seems to look their age anymore.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And I think people are so much more conscious now about the individuality of health and exercise, and recognizing that there are so many different opinions, so many expert opinions, and really it's all individual. So it's about what suits you and what you can realistically achieve and factor into your life.
Yeah, and very interesting there. I think for people, we want to give them a little idea or something easy this evening. Like before, a few years ago, I remember you were told you keep your metabolism fired up, so you eat five times a day.
Yeah.
Then, of course, the next thing we had Dr. Woolsley, Michael Woolsley, and you have then different diets and the 3-for-1 and the 2-for-1 and then the intermittent fasting. Now, I think what you're saying there, for me, that's really good as well, because when you stop eating, like, I couldn't figure out, when I tried the 5-a-day thing before, I was just, it couldn't work
Disaster.
For me. I love the way that you can actually stretch yourself into even 2 o'clock, you know,
totally.
You don't eat. And I think, again, it works. Maybe you have a black
and
coffee
look,
or something.
There's great science behind it, in terms of, we know that we live in an environment where you could be snacking and grazing all the time. And actually, being able to go for longer periods without eating does give your system a chance to reboot its, you know, autophagy. So there's kind of junk cells being able to be gotten rid of and cleared out, as it were. And I'm speaking in very layman's terms, obviously, but also your gut microbiome. And we know there's massive focus on it now and massive interest in that whole area of science. And when you give your microbiome a good break as well, again, it has a chance to sleep, to rest, to clear out the junk. And really, I think focusing on quality diets, so what you're putting into, we know the damage and the issues around the ultra processed food. We know that doesn't feed the microbiome with anything it particularly likes. There are prebiotics, there are probiotics, there are now postbiotics. So again, it's thinking about how you can do that and how you can also function or improve your sleep. So we know things like caffeine, late night screen time. We know that alcohol is a real disruptor. I'm interested in my sleep. I track my sleep. And really anything over a glass or two of wine, I can see my sleep is really disrupted. So again, dark, cold room. They even will recommend a really hot shower or bath at nighttime because it will heat you up, but then cool you right down. And again, if you think about that sort of hibernation that you want to try and achieve, all of these things will help. And really, when your sleep is poor, there's a knock-on weight effect as well.
Very interesting. Now, I wonder, are we going to dispel any myths today? But of course, breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Now, again,
according to whom,
you know, exactly. So, I know, you know, according to whoever wants to sell cornflakes.
Yes,
you know,
but
in a way, for intermittent fasting, I must say, I like to enjoy breakfast at the weekend. And I know we chatted about this before. I think you have a little treat where you can have, again, you don't have to have loads of bread or whatever, but a nice omelette or something. But and then I like that with the morning papers or something at the weekends.
Yes.
But during the week, I find more and more that I don't need breakfast, Dominie, so much because I have energy. I take my magnesium supplements. You told Ross Lewis about magnesium a few years ago.
Yeah,
he told me.
Super
and
important.
A bit of a life changer, I think. Seriously,
that's a great supplement.
But I feel lighter as well.
Yeah.
So what do you think about, is it, again, I know it's subjective but individual, but I must say now that really tends to work better for me, and then I enjoy like lunch then afterwards.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, there's good evidence around minimum 13, 14 hours of not eating, and that's very doable if you have dinner at 6 or 7 and then not eating anything till 7 or 8. And then it's an idea of stretching that out a little bit. So if you can do a lot of your eating in, say, an 8-hour window, so focusing on lunch and dinner, that can be great. Now, getting back to that, breakfast isn't the most important meal of the day. There is some good science around the idea of eating a lighter meal at nighttime, again, to really improve your digestion and allow your system to really focus on the repair work it needs to do at nighttime. I myself, I like eating dinner at night. I'll often just eat one meal a day, and that's my dinner. And in the morning, I very easily have just coffee with a little all day. So that works for me 2-3 days a week. But as I said, it's individual and it depends on you as a person, your activity, where you are, your hormones, all of these things come into play.
Yeah, very interesting. Another book I was reading recently called Drop Acid was interesting. It was all about, they were really kind of slating sweeteners and all sorts of sweeteners, and basically came down and said
they're really poor. They are really poor.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. That honey, apparently, whatever way the bees make it and the chemical thing, that even though it is carbohydrate, it is a really good sweetener. If you're going to have something, that honey is actually the best, and apparently it reduces acid or whatever the acid is in your body.
For me, because I'm a little bit more concerned about the kind of blood glucose spikes, I tend not to have a lot of honey or any kind of form of sugar. And your body will, there are some good nutrients in honey, so it is definitely not in the same sort of league as white caster sugar, as it were. There is some goodness in honey, but you do have to be mindful of it and the impact, you know, if you're looking at it from a weight point of view. But in saying that, I think that there's the artificial sweeteners and so on are really, and it's really been so debunked now in terms of the idea that, oh, well, they're zero calories. Again, it goes back to your gut microbiome, but also your body. When you taste that very sweet liquid, your body thinks it's going to get hit with the surge of sugar, so it starts releasing insulin. There's all these impacts. When you take something that's that unnatural, that hyper-processed, there is an impact. Stick to your waters, your herbal teas, your coffees and so on, and quench your thirst with those.
And before we just do a little sample, a few weeks of just things that we're going to say, cut out, don't do, what What about the lemon juice in the warm water in the morning? What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think it's, and it's interesting, I actually sometimes freeze whole lemons, and if you can get organic lemons, even better, because they don't tend to have as many pesticides on the outside for this particular little drink. So I actually grate a little bit of whole lemons, so the zest, the insides of a frozen lemon, grate that and put that in some hot water. There tend to be some compounds that they say are very beneficial. It's actually a really nice morning drink. Sometimes I'll put a little cider vinegar in it as well. And again, I'll see some people saying there's absolutely no science about the idea of it being a cleansing type of tonic. Other people saying it's really bad for the enamel in your teeth. So all this stuff. I personally like it. I might have it one or two mornings, and I do feel quite virtuous and good with it.
Yeah, and that doesn't necessarily disrupt your intermittent fasting very much.
No,
is great. Just to give up for 2 weeks or say 3 weeks, if we want to do something, you know, cleansing and to drop a few pounds, sort of an easy dummy's guide, if you like, to getting a few pounds off, what are your recommendations?
So I think big thing, focus on sleep, which sounds easy, but that means being quite strict about bedtime and consistent. Even trying to get some sunshine into your eyes and during the day is important. So getting outside for a walk, really good, because you want to be sleeping when it's dark and awake when it's bright. So I've even stopped wearing sunglasses to the extent that I did, because again, there's some good research on melatonin production and getting that daylight during the daytime hours. Another good hack is if you have eaten dinner, try and have your dinner quite earlier before you go to bed. So a good 3 hour gap before dinner and bedtime. And if you can, take the dog for a walk or go out for a quick stroll after dinner. That can really help with the sort of glucose response and the insulin response after dinner. So again, it's a great way, a little bit of movement like that. And it's about small habits. We tend to plunge into things. It's like, I'm giving up this, I'm giving up that, whatever.
Yeah.
People fall off the wagon.
Dry January turns very damp sometimes.
Very damp. And then people fall off the wagon and then they give up everything.
Yeah.
And all you need to do is really just get the discipline to just say, you know what? It's fine. I've broken. I did have a glass of wine last night, or I did have popcorn when I went to the cinema or whatever. You start again the next day. It's the tiny habits and being realistic about what you can factor into your day.
And I heard you talking recently, you were talking about pulses and grains as well, which was really interesting in terms of sweeping. Broccoli, I know you talk, is a kind of a power food. You were saying, I heard you talking, it's great to start, so incorporate those. So if you're having your main meal, reduce the carbs and go for things like a salmon and broccoli, or meat and or broccoli, and then not the kind of the white kind of carbs.
You're really focusing on limiting things like white rice, pasta and so on, because nutritionally there's not a lot of bang for buck in them. They have calories, but not a lot of goodness to them. And even though I follow a low carb diet, and pulses would tend to be quite carby, I do enjoy them, just smaller quantities. And
of course, they're very healthy for
there's
you.
There's loads
aren't they?
Of goodness
yeah,
in them,
yeah.
Loads of goodness. But it just, I tend to, after I think Christmas, you're a bit fed up with roast meats and stuff. So I tend to eat probably a bit more vegetarian, focus on eggs and maybe a little bit of oily fish. But it's just really more what I feel like this time of year.
Yeah. And for, again, for vegetarian and for vegan sort of main meal options, again, you do some great flavor stuff, because flavor was always the problem there, wasn't it? But now that is completely changed. Have you got a few little nice recommendations for us just on that?
Absolutely. So I think the one thing I think makes vegetables, if you're not super keen on eating vegetables, is making lovely sauces to go with them. So there's really nice salsas and sauces, and that's where you put your energy into being able to oven roast veg and everything, and flavors like soy sauce or tamari and miso and garlic. They just give such zing to food, especially this time of year. And when we're focusing on the gut microbiome, the idea is that we focus on colours, not calories. So as many different colours of pulses and vegetables and leaves and herbs and spices, they all contribute to up to 30 different varieties of plants. And in that, you can include some very dark chocolate and green tea. They all contribute.
Very important. In your store cupboard, go into town, go to the, where would you say, the Asian supermarket or somewhere, because all those great, like soy and miso, if you have those added into different things, it changes, it can change a whole recipe, can't it?
Totally change it. You know, now I've had people just saying, I'm not eating Brussels sprouts and I'm not eating this and I'm not eating
not
kale.
Not if they're boiled to death.
Exactly.
Mush.
Absolute mush. You make this lovely dressing out of the white sweet miso, and you mix it with a little bit of olive oil or even a little bit of butter and some garlic. And instead of honey, there's a great Irish brand that makes a sweetener out of chicory root. And again, much less higher glycemic spike than sugar. And it's a lovely one. And if you glaze some vegetables with that and roast them in the oven. Oh, heaven. Put some sesame seeds on it. Again, sesame seeds, a great source of calcium. You get a great dinner. Make some really quick hummus, dip your veg into that. Beautiful.
Fantastic. I love it. So Dominic, the other thing, walking, you talked about earlier there before evening. Again, just in terms of light exercise, walking probably one of the best.
It's super good. Now I'll hear trainers saying walking's not exercise, but then you'll hear other people saying it's all about movement and so on. And it's what you can do. I've gone on yoga holidays and bits and pieces and I've come back saying, that's it, I'm going to do an hour worth of yoga every day. And of course, after a week or two, I've forgotten all about it. And 6 months later, I'm going, oh yeah, must do some stretches. So it's about the small things every day that you can do. I do find now, because my back is bad, I do the stretches because I need to. But again, if you can't fit in gym or you can't do this, a walk is amazing. So anything you can do, and spending time in nature. We know now biophilia is a huge big science. So just getting outside is massive.
You're so right. Even all these apps now, Dominic, that you sign up to, like you can train yourself on your phone. It looks great when you sign up. And then, you know, it's so difficult to actually do it.
Oh, it's ridiculous. And they have that expression, yoga, it's putting the mat out. Even that is in itself a sort of acknowledgement of that I have good intention. I need to get down there and do the stretches.
Brilliant. Listen, Dominic, thank you so much for coming in and giving us all your top tips this evening. We're going to have you back on again soon now, and we'll be talking about some interesting things for the spring. Dominic Kemp, thanks a million for giving us all those top tips this evening for the year ahead. We're going to take a break now for a short bit of music, and when I get back, we'll be chatting to Trevor Twomley from Sport Endorse, and he is a sports management agent.